Hi, I'm Tamar Rodney, and you're listening to On the Pulse, a podcast from the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing. On this podcast, we take a deep dive into the experiences of frontline providers and researchers. We explore their insights and invaluable stories of how healthcare works in today's world. Today, nurse practitioners are the fastest growing occupation in the U.S. and will be for the next decade. They represent the highest median salary among the top 10 fastest growing professions and are in such high demand in part because of the shortage of physicians and the aging baby boomer population. Nurse practitioners are able to fill many gaps in care, like mental health and primary care, and also represent a very accessible healthcare career path. I am a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, and today's guest, Daniel McKamey, is an acute care nurse practitioner. Dr. McKamey is the Assistant Dean for Strategic Partnerships at the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing, as well as the founder of DMPs of Color, a networking, mentorship, and advocacy organization for DMP-prepared nurses of color. I am very happy to have you here today and to dig into all the best things about our profession. And since it's also Black History Month, we can dig into even how our profession uniquely serves multicultural communities. Danielle, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. So how about we start with just some basic questions. Can you tell our listeners what is a nurse practitioner and why did you become one?
Nurse practitioners, I like to say we have the best of both worlds, but if we're thinking in the context of an academic sense, a nurse practitioner is a nurse that has pursued graduate level education. In addition, some additional training and skills in advanced practice. Nurse practitioners, we operate out of a model where we work to care for patients. So our care is patient-centered. We focus on disease prevention, how we can empower our patients to live a healthy lifestyle, truly understand their health concerns. And we tend to specialize in specific populations, and we can practice in a variety of different settings.
Wonderful. So tell me, why did you choose to become a nurse practitioner? And how would you say it's different from you in the working in a registered nurse role or comparative to, let's say, a physician?
Well, there's a funny story around me becoming a nurse practitioner because I started my nursing career in the post-anesthesia care and then transitioned to medical intensive care. And I thoroughly enjoyed bedside nursing and just the thrills and chills of just being in critical care, practicing nurse. But my great uncle, who is my inspiration to life and my number one fan, said to me, you know, he calls me Shug, I think that you need to go back to school and become a nurse practitioner. And he's like, from the looks of the way healthcare trends are panning out, it seems like nurse practitioners are going to be the hot commodity, as he says, to help close some of these gaps in primary care. And I think that you should go back. And so he convinced me to go back, and I had the opportunity to pursue my NP degree. So here I am as an acute care nurse practitioner.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Uncle. Wiser words never spoken. So, Danielle, usually we hear inspiration coming from moms or older siblings. Uncle is not usually one of those that we hear. Is your uncle a healthcare provider as well or a nurse?
He's not. He is a retired Capitol police officer that served over 40 years. So, but he is very heavily entrenched in being on the Hill. So he had the insider's perspective on some of those conversations and always listening, always observing, and always having the wise counsel. So I listened to him, and I think it was a wise decision to do so.
And just coincidentally, our nurses and nurse practitioner work very closely with our law enforcement. So fabulous collaboration.
Yes.
So let me move on to where we think nurse practitioners are going to. So we are seeing that many reports are coming out that by 2025, specifically the National Organization of Nurse Practitioner Faculties, as well as the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, are pushing for NPs to become prepared with a DMP, which is a doctor of nursing practice, what exactly would you say the DNP is, and how is it different from, let's say, a PhD in nursing? Can you talk us through about the differences between that and what that might look like in a few years?
Sure. And I feel like this has been a moving guidepost in terms of pushing to have doctoral level education for within our profession. But, you know, when you look at the grand scope of other professions, we're probably the only one that does not have a doctoral standard for practicing clinicians. So the DNP is just that. It's a doctorate degree that focuses on clinical practice. And the PhD is a focus on developing and generating new nursing science. And when you think about the educational competencies, core competencies of each, the DNP tends to be focused more on evidence-based practice, translational science, really focusing on clinical and patient outcomes. And then also a lot of the DNP education is grounded in systems leadership, information science, technology, and then really focusing on population health, and then the obvious advanced nursing practice. Whereas PhD, core competencies tend to be centered around critiquing theories, developing new research, new science, analyzing data, scientific communication, and all that sort. So they're the researchers, and the DNPs tend to be the translators of the research generated by the PhD. But working together, we make a unique synergistic blend to really improve patient outcomes.
Thank you for that explanation. It's wonderful to hear. And I think probably a better way to think of it is that both can work in the same space, but they complement each other very well, but they also have a very specific role. So it's been said that nurse practitioners have a more holistic approach than other disciplines. Can you share your thoughts on this, and exactly what would that mean?
I think just because the foundation of nurse practitioners care and management is centered around the nursing model, which is on patient-centered whole person care. Within that education, we tend to be surrounded in education around social drivers of health. So we have that unique expansive lens to understand not only the whole person, but also the social issues that impact their health and why they have come to see us in these particular instances. And because of that model, it allows us to have a unique connection and also unique understanding of our patients, so that we can initiate conversations that speak to our patients' particular needs. And then we typically have the opportunity to spend more time with the patients to get that broader, deeper understanding of our patients and what their needs are. So it yields that feeling and that perception of holistic approaches. And I think that our patients like that. And I've had many people say, oh man, you're a nurse practitioner. I love my nurse practitioner because I sit with them for 20, 30 minutes and we have a whole conversation. And I laugh because I'm like, yeah, we have that whole conversation, but we're also assessing, we're obtaining key information. And for patients feeling that comfortable, they tend to disclose more. So we're able to pick up on a lot of things just out of conversation. So I think that I just always laugh when people say that they have great conversations. And I'm like, little do you know, we're assessing, we're evaluating, and we're coming up with your plan of care while you're having this conversation with us. So, but I think having that connection with our education and our clinical practice being based in nursing practice helps us have that holistic connection and that approach, which allows us to be able to connect with our patients better.
I love that. And thinking about this connection, as an acute care practitioner, you see individuals in times of acute care needs. Mm-hmm. But can you tell me how this could extend to long-term or chronic care, specifically thinking about this holistic approach?
Absolutely. I mean, my career has been primarily in hospital acute care. My practice, we're starting to shape to look at the social drivers, because that's important when we're thinking about discharge planning and what's going to be the next phase Now that we're looking that healthcare is changing to where more of the acute care is going to be outside of the hospital doors, it presents a unique opportunity for us to start looking to incorporating more of the acute care nurse practitioner models in the home, in the community, to help manage some of these patients and take care of them so that when they make that transition out of the hospitals into the communities, that we're preventing the readmissions. And so I feel like there's place and space for all of us. And now that healthcare tides are changing, it's just reimagining what acute care looks like outside of the hospital and ensuring that we're aligning our education of our future colleagues so that they're prepared in practice to take care of those acute needs that we'll start to see more so outside of the hospital doors.
I love that. I'm thinking about that acute care outside of the hospital doors. It's not something that we hear very often, mm-hmm. but I think it also means that you get to collaborate a lot mm-hmm. with your other clinician partners. So Danielle, we know that we need more nurse practitioners, we need more physicians, but can you probably just narrow it down and tell us what are some of the areas where nurse practitioners are particularly in high demand or making a big impact?
I think the family nurse practitioner continues to be kind of the primary, I don't want to say pathway, but the most common population that folks are pursuing in advanced practice, although psych mental health has gained exponential, I don't want to say popularity, but hit more and more are seeing the value in adding the psych mental health certification to their primary care, because in the primary care areas, from what I hear from my colleagues and reports from AANP, that the psych mental health issues are manifesting more in the primary care setting. And so folks are going back to get the additional education to best serve those individuals in the moment when they're coming for their primary care needs. Because the family nurse practitioner specialty has the ability to care across the spectrum of health, they can be utilized in a variety of ways in a variety of areas, which allows them to have a substantial impact in patient care outcomes.
That's wonderful. And thank you for explaining that part. I guess, you know, nurse practitioner gets to specialize, and family nurse practitioner and site mental health nurse practitioners are two that gets to practice across a lifespan. Could you tell us what this might mean for communities that are Black or multicultural population with multiple needs? How valuable is a family nurse practitioner to those communities?
Yeah, because family nurse practitioners can practice across the lifespan, it allows for communities of color to have access to practitioners that can essentially be their provider for the duration of health needs and also primary prevention and wellness. And there was a paper that came out early 2023 that explored primary care nurse practitioners that have full practice authority and how that correlates in the care of communities of color. And they found that when nurse practitioners have the opportunity to practice at their full scope, they tend to be very instrumental in communities of color. With that, them being present helps to improve their opportunity to have access to high quality healthcare, which is critically important.
Just an extension of this, that, you know, your primary care provider in any setting as physicians or as nurse practitioners is the first point of contact that most families and communities see. Mm-hmm. How important is that referral process to specialty care like mental health care?
Absolutely. Because the primary care provider is, like you mentioned, that first line to be able to assess and make the proper referrals. Having that strong relationship and that presence is important so that patients can get access to those specialty care opportunities for whatever needs that they might have that the primary care might not necessarily have the top of scope education to be able to manage and treat. So I think that having the family NP be the center of the care to help coordinate what the family needs, the patient needs, is also extremely important. So having a presence in these communities and having that full practice authority only helps us improve some of these health disparities and close some of these gaps that we have in access to care, and particularly high quality care that nurse practitioners can provide.
Now, it's so good to hear, and I'll just extend it a little bit. So we know about the inequities and the communities that are underserved. However, nurse practitioners are more likely to serve these underserved communities, rural settings specifically. Can you share with us your thoughts on why this works, or how does this work?
Absolutely. So it's well documented that practitioners, whether it be nurse practitioners, physicians, physician assistants, that they tend to serve the communities that they have come from or have been educated or exposed to. So having that connection and wanting to get the education and take it back to improve their communities, well documented, and it makes sense, right? You want to be of service to the communities that served you in your growth and development. Other factors include education-related connections. So there's a lot of clinicians take advantage of financial aid and loan repayment opportunities that there is essentially an agreement to go back to underserved communities to provide care. And there's also something interesting. Those practitioners that have been exposed to clinical practicum experiences in rural underserved areas also tend to have the desire to go back out of having that exposure that creates that connection and creates that desire to want to take the education and training back to improve those communities and their health, wellness, and preventative care.
And I completely agree with you, obviously, as a practicing clinician, that, you know, giving back is something that you find a lot of nurses and nurse practitioners want to do. So that's great to hear. Nurse practitioners are also considered to be cost effective for the healthcare system and for individual care as well. Can you talk to us about why is this statistic relevant to the way we provide care?
Absolutely. So because the NP practice allows for opportunities to focus on wellness and prevention, we are in tune to ensuring that patients come back for their routine checkups and wellness checkups. That helps us be able to implement screenings, also appropriate check-ins that automatically improves quality of care. So as a result, that decreases emergency room visits, also gets patients into ambulatory care specific specialties in a timely fashion. You also think about some of the indirect costs to patients in being able to access care. So it essentially lowers their costs over time to accessing medical care. And then, of course, lowering hospital readmissions, inappropriate use of emergency departments. And because nurse practitioners, our practice is starting to evolve deeper into more wellness and preventative healthcare, which essentially has been driven by the communities and patients that we serve, that also helps us to prevent some diseases that we can implement strategies that align with patients' needs to decrease their risks in certain diseases.
And I love that idea that it's not just sickness, but wellness and health promotion. Mm-hmm. And I want you to share with our listeners, the process of becoming a nurse practitioner is a very unique one where, you know, while you're a registered nurse, you're able to work and still go through school. Mm-hmm. Does that process of training, you think, buys into how nurse practitioners are more cost effective because they can still work and train?
Absolutely. Educational costs are lower. And then because our education is practice-based, we're able to start rotating and getting those exposures to care and management of patients while being educated. And so that decreases the time of us having to be in education and allows us to be able to get into practice sooner. So absolutely the educational costs contribute to us being cost effective as well.
So learn while you work and work while you learn. That's perfect. Switching gears a little bit, the United States is projected to have a majority population of people of color by 2050.
Mm-hmm.
But healthcare professions have been slower to see corresponding diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you have, I'm going to call it your baby, your area of expertise, something very near and dear to your heart,
yes.
Your DNPs of color. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how your group, the DNPs of color, is helping to change that?
Absolutely. So with DNPs of color, our focus is on workforce diversity and development. Programming is centered on opportunities and additional education to either reinforce skill or upskill a lot of our members that are in the advanced practice space. And because our members tend to be DNP prepared, they are uniquely positioned in various leadership roles and academic spaces where they are either educating the future nurses or responsible for making decisions around recruitment and creating opportunities within different health systems or healthcare places to ensure that providers of color are thriving in those environments. We're helping to retain folks and also put folks in key places that folks that look like you, you have a greater affinity to be in those spaces so that you're able to share your insight, you're able to network, you're able to find opportunities to mentor, opportunities for scholarships. But as an organization specifically, just by having the community alone, we're able to leverage this wealth of professionals that are in different spaces to create these opportunities for education, create opportunities for scholarships for folks to go back to school to either become faculty or clinician leaders. And then also just creating an environment for networking, because we all know your net worth is directly correlated to your network. And having that expanding network allows us to have greater impact. And that impact allows us to have a voice in looking at different structures. And structures are created by policies and practices. And so having this unique perspectives of understanding policies, practice, and structures allows us to better advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion in those particular spaces. And hopefully when we start looking at more upstream effects and as DNPs of color, we're able to have that trickle down into the downstream effects where we'll start seeing an increase in providers, leaders, policymakers that reflect diverse communities that we're looking to better serve.
I hear you talking about networking, and we know how valuable that is.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly an organization that is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, amazing. But there's one point that I think you could share with us a little bit about. How important is mentorship from your organizations mm-hmm. to future nurse practitioners of color?
Mentorship is literally the key to success in any endeavor, no matter where you're in nursing, outside of nursing. And so our group, man, we have a robust Rolodex of folks that desire to be mentors and participate in the mentorship process. And because we cover the spectrum of practice within nursing, it provides substantial value for folks that are looking to be in certain spaces that a lot of DNPs of color are already in place and have that ease of connection because we're all in this membership community, so that the understanding is mentorship is part of being this in this community. Networking is part of being in this community. So it makes it less awkward and less intimidating because we all have that energy of ensuring that my success is your success and we are because you are. So there's that community of wanting to ensure that everyone is succeeding. And so that mentorship is definitely one of our mission pillars that we really drive home with our programming and also infuse in the culture of our membership.
That's exciting. And obviously, mentorship is critical. And I do encourage you to have your organization keep continuing to mentor our young DMPs of color. You're a DMP prepared nurse practitioner. I am not, because partially it wasn't available then. But we have seen a humongous growth in DMP programs. Why do you think this is?
So I think that with programs trying to reach that goalpost of DMP prepared nurses by 2025 contributed to that. And then also seeing how the DMP degree makes doctoral studies more accessible to communities of color, more accessible to those that don't have the means or might not have the ability to meet the demands that a PhD requires just because of the core competencies that are the foundation, especially within nursing science. And so there's been some statistics that were put out over the past decade from Campaign for Action that there have been over 50,000 DMPs within practice to 7,000 PhDs. For me, amazing, because I mean, I'm founder, CEO, president of DMPs of Color. So I'm like, this is an exciting opportunity to really leverage DMP prepared nurses to close some of the gaps in healthcare and advance, truly, truly advance health equity by looking at ways to reimagine the way DMPs can be in certain spaces from academia, clinical practice, advocacy. And so the exponential growth, I think, was, like I said, the catalyst was the mandate to get more DMP prepared nurses by 2025. And then seeing that increase, making doctoral studies accessible, truly made it exponentially grow from my perspective.
Well, the healthcare industry is primed and ready for our DMP graduates, and we definitely need more of those. And if you could close by telling me, what is your absolutely most favorite things about being a nurse practitioner?
Honestly, I love the autonomy, and with that autonomy, just being able to shape the impact that I have on the people that I take care of, the communities that have that impact, and then just to focus on being committed to improving patient outcomes. And then, of course, me being in acute care, I'm kind of, I love the adrenaline energy that comes from that particular specialty. So the autonomy, the adrenaline rush, and then most importantly, the impact that I get to make on the people that I take care of.
And I think that's why we all do it, because we get to have an amazing career and get to work with such amazing people. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us and for helping me show off the best of our profession. And thank you for your work specifically in helping to diversify your profession and empowering the next generation of nurse practitioners of color.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of On the Pulse. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share with someone you know and subscribe through Apple, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. You can also find us on the Health Podcast Network at healthpodcastnetwork.com/nurse. Be sure to also check out our On the Pulse blog. You can learn more about the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing at nursing.jhu.edu.